If you'll go to 2 Kings, Elijah is taken up into heaven by the whirlwind. Elisha has been mantled as his successor and does twice as many miracles. The biblical accounts are quite extraordinary. If you want to be wowed, read the works of Elisha. Amazing. Now, James tells us that Elijah was a man with a nature just like us. So it's not a fairy tale. This is historical reality that occurred. 2 Kings tell the stories of the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah and the warnings of their captivity by Assyria and Babylon. But in between are remarkable stories of the faith of Elisha. And it wasn't just faith, it was audacious faith. It was in your face faith. It was off the charts kind of faith, this prophet. And how spiritual things in connection to God and hearing God with great courage seemed to come just so easily for him. He was unusual, but he models how the supernatural somehow feels natural. And his confidence is so high in the things of God. And we too want our confidence to be high in the new year. So we want our confidence to be high in 2020, in this new year. And again, 2020, it smacks of clear vision, clarity of vision. So let's pick up a story, one of many. We'll be looking into chapter 6 here in a minute, but the backstory is the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, was at war with Israel, and Elisha the prophet would warn the king of Israel about the plans of Ben-Hadad because he heard from God frequently and with amazing precision. In other words, he was kind of a tattletale. He would stand in the council of God. God would tell Elisha what Ben-Hadad was getting ready to do to war against Israel, and he'd go get in the ear of the king of Israel and say, oh, by the way, Ben-Hadad, he fixing to do ABC, you know, and he would begin to communicate with him. So every surprise siege would be foiled because, daggone it, this prophet kept getting in the ear, you know, of his enemy, as it were. And so anyway, the Arameans were going to camp in a particular location. So Elisha cued in the king of Israel to be on his guard to that locale. And it frustrated the king of Aram. No end, because he thought someone within his ranks is what he thought. Someone within our ranks is telling, but we know it was God who was telling. Now, isn't that fun? Christianity is real fun when God starts talking to his people that way and showing us things to come. Doesn't it say that about the Holy Spirit, that he's the Spirit of truth who leads us into all truth and he will show us things to come? It's great when we're cued into something before something actually happens by the Spirit of the Lord. So finally, one of the Aramean officers told Ben-Hadad, the king, that it was Elisha that's telling the king of Israel the very words of the king, saying that just whatever you're saying in your own bedroom, he knows. He knows. And he tells the king of Israel. In other words, what you say in private, and there's no one else there to listen, this prophet somehow knows. He picks up on it. So again, no wonder he had this audacious faith due to hearing God so frequently and so clearly. Obviously frustrated, the king of Aram ordered his men to find out where this prophet was so that he might capture him, because he's ruining everything for him. He's trying to wage a successful war against Israel, but daggone it, this prophet keeps getting in the way and stealing his secrets, you see. So he ordered his men, find out where he is so that I might capture him. He's getting in the way of my seizing upon Israel. So we'll pick up the story starting in verse 13 of 2 Kings chapter 6. And here the king said, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. Speaking of Elisha, the report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Father, speak to our hearts, change our lives, open our eyes to see you, to see what you're doing, and may audacious faith arise within us, we pray, God, in Jesus' name. Everyone agreed with a amen. So here we see Ben-Hadad. The king sends horses and chariots, and he qualifies it as a strong force. Now, he's sending an army of sorts against the prophet. And you can do the math. An army, a prophet, his servant, two. Army, two. Army, I mean, it's a David and Goliath kind of scenario. So, a strong force. They go in by night. They surround the city, Dothan, where they were currently. And this is pretty intimidating. The Arameans have stacked the deck against one prophet and his servant. Stacked the deck against one prophet and his servant, too. And clearly the prophet told his servant, "Don't be afraid." Could it be, too, that we are afraid because our eyes at times aren't truly open? But we're going to resolve, we're not going to serve fear, we're going to serve God. Amen? Ever feel the deck stacked against you by chance, like these two? And against those odds, the man of God exhorted his servant, "Don't be afraid." He goes on to elaborate to the servant. That was kind of him, to kind of unpack it just a little bit. And he explained, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, how many of you have received a word from the Lord, maybe by someone who loves you and was well-intended, and they give you this word, but yet you're doing the math, you're looking around you, and you hear the word, and you're like, you know, great, thank you for trying to be a blessing. So here this prophet is saying, there are more that are with us than are with them. And I'm sure the servant's looking out, you know, one, two, you know. Okay, I don't know how you do math, but at any rate, you know, so he didn't quite get it. How could the prophet make such a statement? Because of the principle of vision. The principle of vision, i.e., seeing the truth which may not always be apparent on the surface. And guys, there's a lot in life that's not always apparent on the surface. Actually, there's much on the surface that isn't always communicating good things in our direction. And because it is not apparent, we must see through. Can you say see through? See through. You've heard the phrase and concept before. Oh, I saw right through that scheme. Oh, I saw right through that sham, or I saw right through that smokescreen. I got an email today from GoDaddy about a domain name. I'm like, is this real or is this a scam? I've got to see through to determine, because they're asking for a payment. I'm like, is that due? I've just got to be discerning. Or maybe I can see right through that person, referencing maybe pretense, falsehood, or bad motives. But that's the negative side of the equation, exposure. But on the other side of the ledger, on the positive side, we need to see through to the truth and it doesn't always come easily. Thus, the need for vision. Parents, we need to see through to the truth of our children. And each one of them are fearfully and wonderfully made. They are each uniquely different, as is their calling and purpose. Those in the marketplace need to see through as to the blessing, increase, favor, breakthrough, and promotion God might desire to bring your way. Students need to see through as to how God can use them while earning a degree, and that they can also successfully walk with God in those 4 years and be very fruitful as a Christian. Those awaiting a promise yet to be fulfilled need to see through with the same confidence Elisha demonstrated against defeating odds. Everyone has some things stacked against them. But something I really appreciate about this particular story is that not only did Elisha see through to the truth, but he also helped someone else properly see through to that truth. You see, vision is contagious and it produces faith. Now, his servant's physical eyes were obviously open, and it produced a yikes of sorts for obvious reasons, logically. The problem is that his spiritual eyes were not open. They were shut. And it was going to require a prayer on Elijah's part to remedy this. And we realize much in life does require a prayer. Hello? It's going to require a prayer for our man Elisha to get his servant to see truth. There's much that we're going to need that's simply preempted by a prayer that works. So again, we read in verse 17, and Elisha prayed, O Lord, what? Open. It's interesting, we sang about that just on the third song this very morning. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, what? Open his eyes so that he might, what? It wasn't his physical vision. Vision's a funny thing, it's a mysterious thing. Open his eyes, spiritually, obviously, that he may see. This spirit world is going on all the time, all around us. Sometimes we perceive it, sometimes we don't. But just because we don't perceive it doesn't mean we can't receive it. Hello? It's there. It's at work. Prayers and answer to prayers are working on our behalf. The servants of God are working on our behalf. The Spirit of God is working on our behalf. The promises of God are working on our behalf. But Lord, open his eyes. He's going to need a little boost. He's looking in the natural. And we don't put down this servant like he's some nerd. That servant over there, where's your faith? I mean, if I'd been in the foxhole and I'm counting, you know, 10, 20, 10, 10, 10, 2. You know, I mean, he's not a goober. It's just the natural in his physical senses, what he saw. It was real. Can you say it's real? We don't want to put down or belittle anyone's challenge. It may be small to you, but to them it's real. It's very real. And this was very logical that he should be concerned. So therefore, in the kindness of the prophet, he prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he might see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I always wonder where that movie Chariots of Fire got its name from, but at any rate, could it be? In 2020, if you can't quite see clearly yet, it's okay. Just pray for it. Just pray for it. What's around the corner? It's murky. There's a lot that's not clear. Well, there'll always be things that are unclear until it's lived out, until it's actualized and experienced. But just pray for it. Vision, proper sight, is to be prayed for. Is to be prayed for. Pray to see through to the truth. And there's muck and blurriness, cloudiness. Pray to see through to the truth. There's a truth there. Pray to get it. Those who press in, get it. Those who persevere, get it. The hungry, get it. In our natural humanity, we can be dull. Remember Eli, who became dull and dim of sight? And we are of the redeemed, we're the awakened, and we can pray for sight, for vision, into truth. It's the devil who blinds the minds of people. The Bible says the devil blinds the minds of the unbelieving, that they cannot what? That they cannot see. Yet even believers in our humanity get dull and dim, but after this precedent in 2 Kings 6, we can pray for vision. We can see through to the truth. And our man Elisha was so incredible. He didn't stop there. He then prayed, ironically, as the enemy was coming down toward him, that God would strike them, the enemy, with blindness. And God did. I mean, you can't help but love this. In God's economy, his bondservants see while his enemies are blinded. You just can't help but love that. The bondservant of the Lord sees while the attack and the opposition is blinded. Isn't that the way the world should work? Well, certainly the kingdom of God. The servant saw and the enemy blinded. We'll sign up for that. Would you want your enemy blinded? Yeah. You know, throw them into confusion, sure. Remember in John 9:39, when Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind see, and those who see will become blind." In another place in Mark 4, Jesus quotes about the hard-hearted. He quotes Isaiah saying, "They may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." We, however, can see through to the truth, and we can certainly pray that way. I can't see. It's okay. Pray that you can. Murky. It's okay. It's all right. This world, this fallen world, is murky. It's like, what's wrong with me? It's murky. Nothing's wrong with you. It's called an Adamic fallen world. There are clouds everywhere. There's haze everywhere. But through the prayer, it removes the haze from our gaze. The curtain is pulled back a little bit. We don't always see comprehensively, but we can see enough unto the day. We can see enough. And there's a certain reach that God provides on the other side of our ask. Interesting, later on in chapter 7, we discover a severe famine comes onto the land. And Aram's army had stopped pursuing Israel by this time, and now they're laying siege to Samaria. But if you'll go over one chapter, chapter 7, we can jump into this interesting story in verse 3. That reads, "Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over into the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, then we die.'" I like that. If we stay, we die. If we go, we die. What's there to lose? Let's go over into the camp of the enemy. I just love that. I mean, that's just, you know, sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes the greatest risk is not taking a risk. Hello? And they're like, "If I stay here, we die. Going to the city, we die. The enemy's over there in camp. They're just going over there. What is a man to lose?" Love that. At dusk, verse 5, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Verse 8, the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and they drank and carried away silver and gold. Love that. Silver and gold. Anyway, they carried away silver and gold and clothes. And I mean, that was a good day. I mean, they walked away fully fortified, silver and gold and clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from them and also hid them as well. I mean, this was amazing. Would God do that for four lepers? You betcha. I mean, they got up and took an action, and it was great. Would he do that for you? You betcha. And funny enough, they plundered the goods of the camp, ate and drank, carried away the gold, silver, and clothes. I mean, it's like shopping the day after Thanksgiving just to discover everything is free. It's just all free. I mean, they went in lepers, but now they come out well-dressed lepers, well-fed lepers. They come out full lepers, belching lepers, rings on their finger, clothes on their back, you see. Formerly, God helped a fearful servant. Here he helps infirmed lepers. So earlier, the Aramean enemies at Dothan had their sight imposed upon. Here, chapter 7, they had their hearing imposed upon. Proverbs says, the wicked flee even though no one is pursuing. 2020. Vision, sight. New year, new eyes. New year, new eyes. New year, new eyes. Listen, in 2020, see through to the truth. What's the truth you need to see and discover? May I recommend, find a verse for your life this year. Find a verse for your family. Just pray prophetically. Lord, just give me a hallmark verse. Just a touchstone verse to hang my hat, to hang my... My wife and I last year prayed one text the whole year. It was amazing. And we just worked that text and worked that text and worked that text. I would encourage you to ask God, what's the word of the Lord? And obviously it's not reductive to one. We have a whole Bible full. But there might be an overarching truth that you're to strive for your family, over your marriage, over your children. I would encourage you to work it so that you might see through to the truth of it. Speaking of this year, 2020 is another leap year that comes around every 4 years. We get a February 29th again this year, added to our calendar as a corrective measure since the earth doesn't orbit the sun in precisely 365 days. So it's a leap year in 2020. Every 4 years, it's a leap year. L-E-A-P, leap. I encourage us, maybe let's use that as an acronym in this new year, in 2020. Elisha prayed for vision. We should too. Leap. L-E-A-P. Let's expect answered prayer. It took a prayer for the servant to see through to the truth. There's a truth out there that's never wavered. It's not like, you know, people are funny, the church is funny. We discovered new truth. It was always there. As powerful as the Protestant Reformation was, Habakkuk was always there. Romans was always there. You just bumped into it. And like when we bump into it, it's like, new truth. No, it's never new. New to you. And we celebrate that. We want to see through. Let's expect answered prayer. A prayer can get us there. For Elijah, he didn't just wave his hand over him, you know, or smack his eyes. He prayed a prayer in this particular story. open his eyes that he may see. Leap year, L-E-A-P, for others it may be, let's expect amazing provision. How many of y'all want to see God's provision in 2020? Could it be it's for the asking, the seeking, the knocking, that we might see through to that truth that is there? It's there. Sometimes when we don't see, we question God. We question God's motives. We question, does it work? Do we question all kinds of things because we don't see. There is a benefit to God-ordained vision. And we want to be, as the church, people of vision. You know, the Titanic, it's interesting that with all of their, at that time, state-of-the-art technology at that time, racing across the Atlantic and just full steam ahead due to pride to, you know, to achieve a certain time. With all of their rigging out that amazing vessel, the one thing they did not pack were binoculars. Binoculars. So when someone thought they saw in the distance this shape of maybe an iceberg, called for binoculars, they weren't there. But history records that had they had just a little more time, they could have made the turn soon enough to miss the iceberg. And as it was, they merely grazed it, but the grazing of it was enough to rip holes in the underbelly of the ship. And so the church needs to be the binocular. We need to be the prophetic Elisha that can see reality for what it is. And the Spirit of God will help us. I can see clearly now the reign is here, the reign of the Holy Spirit, the R-E-I-G-N, reign of God. I can see clearly now. Lord, help us individually, obviously corporately. What's God saying for our city, for our state, for our nation? What's God doing in the earth? What's the truth? Where to see? What's the truth? Where to perceive? It's there, a prayer away. A prayer away. The servant received sight, therefore security. The lepers received abundant provision and therefore lived. It was life and death to them. If we stay here, die, nothing to lose. For the servant, sight and security. For the lepers, provision and life. See the truth over your health this new year. See the truth over your finances. See through to the truth over your relationships. See the truth over your career path and destiny. God would never say, just roll over and crawl up like an embryo, you know. No. You know, just be, go into despair. No, see the truth of what's around the corner. See the truth over your fruitfulness unto God. See the truth over your future. For there's one night and day that lies and accuses. Therefore, we must see the truth over our future. Walk into the camp of your provision. Walk by faith. Those lepers sure did. Walk on the word. Walk into the promises. Thus your 2020 land. Promised land. See the truth. See the truth. And walk in it. Listen, with Elijah's servant, nothing actually had changed. The servant just saw it. The chariots of fire and angels were there all along, but God allowed him to see it. The truth is already there for you and me. We just want to see it, perceive it, discern it. For you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hear this too. The temporary, quote, apparent facts around you aren't always the truth. You can't always trust in them. I've shared this before, that the facts aren't always the truth. It's not that we deny certain things that are in our lives and things that are challenges due to life. They can be factual, but the facts ultimately aren't always the truth. I've told you this story before, so forgive me for the redundancy, but when one of our daughters, when she was, I don't know, maybe one or not quite one, we were down with my in-laws in Hilton Head at a restaurant, and being just under one or one, she was a bit loud, and it was a fairly nice establishment, and there were people there. I mean, it wasn't candlelight, but it was somewhat nice. It was atmosphere there, and she was getting louder and louder. I noticed a couple at a table over there, and they just kind of kept looking, and, you know, she was loud, and we were trying to restrain a little bit, and I kept seeing, you know, the couple kind of look, you know, and then they were talking, and I was going, oh, gosh, they're paying good money and having their little sweet evening compromise. And she would get a little loud, and they'd kind of look over there again. And so as we were walking out, I thought, I got this. And I said, I'm sorry, we got a little loud over there. And they said, no, we were just looking at your baby thinking how adorable your little girl was. I was like, oh. I had the facts. They were looking. I had the facts. They were talking. But I didn't have the truth. The facts aren't always the truth. Therefore, we must see through. Because again, there's an accuser, a liar, the father of lies, who's always lying. Knowing that, we must see through. You know, it's funny when you catch a liar in a lie, they never admit they lied. Have you ever tried to convince a liar that they lied? They don't admit it. You know why? Because they're a liar. Liar. But he's always lying. That's his nature. He's going to lie. All the more, we have to see through to the truth. There's a truth there. You see, we must see through. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of leaning on my own understanding. How about you? How many of you know the wisdom of man won't fulfill the purpose of the Lord? There's a human wisdom, and then there's a wisdom from above. The wisdom from above, it's first of all, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's full of good fruits. There's a wisdom from below. I mean, human wisdom is fine on a human level. But what we need as believers is something beyond and transcendent to the human. We're not mere men and women in here. We're other. We're born from above, born again of incorruptible seed. There is a transcendence in this life that we live. There is this God that seated us together with Him in heavenly places. So there is an ability to live and to see and to be above the fray, as it were. There is an earthly existence, and then there's this other realm just through the clouds. A prayer will take us there, as Elijah prayed for his servant. You see. See through. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. For His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. See through. See through. Vision is seeing through to what God wants for you this year, for you, for your family. Is there a verse to take you through the year? Pray about it and pray God open your eyes to it. Let's just pray and ask for God to open our eyes. New year, new things. His promises have always been there, but I believe they're for the asking. Two things in this passage today, Elijah said, don't be afraid, and he prayed for his eyes to be open. Don't be afraid, Lord, open his eyes. I don't know what the future holds. Don't be afraid, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Can we pray that? Father, we just thank you for the new. Thank you for a new slate. Thank you, Father, for your provision and your grace and your mercies are brand new every day. And we just pray, Lord, in this year, that it be a season of clarity, sight, and vision. Just put your hands over your eyes. Lord, we just pray direction, spiritual direction, clarity of sight. Help us to see through to the truth. 2020 vision, we pray and declare on all the multiple levels of life in which we live, corporately, individually, as a family, financially, relationally, spiritually. Lord, I pray even in this week of consecration that we see through to those realities that have always been there. It's just we put ourselves in a position to receive and to behold. So we pray, speak to us. Speak to us. Show us who you are. Show us what you're doing. And show us our role. And the whole scheme of things, show us, we pray. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name.